I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pat Doney, NBC5, had on RJ Chappie last night, and Pat is in for Ralph. Lane Lewis is in for Troy. I'm Sean. We got Roy here on your home of America's team. We got a college football ticket giveaway coming up at 7:40, Miami and LSU. Mike Fisher is joining us, Cowboys insider, on the buyersafety.com hotline. Good morning, Mikey. What jumped out from Saturday night?
Obviously, the injury issues, and most of them, I guess, semi-good news. Zach Martin now, we know, no structural damage there, and the plan is he'll be ready for Carolina in week one. Xavier Woods, the safety, will probably, with a knee, probably not be ready for week one, which again starts up the same sort of rabble regarding the Cowboys' issues at safeties. Do you make that phone call now on Earl Thomas? You quit trying to win the game of chicken and just try to win Earl Thomas. You get involved in the bidding for the Bengals released starter, George Iloka. Those kind of conversations are surely happening in the building right now. And some of this, Sean, I think will be a measure of the power of Chris Richard. And all of us were out there in Oxnard, obviously, and we watched Chris Richard, the new top defensive assistant to Rod Marinelli. We saw him putting his fingerprint on the team every day, did we not? Maybe Chris Richard needs to put his fingerprint on some of the decision making going on at safety now, because the Cowboys have problems there.
What is the timeline on Woods, and what do you think the timeline would have to be, Mike, for them to change their Earl approach?
I do think that they have convinced themselves that they're okay there. But look at all three of the top guys. Jeff Heath, who played really well Saturday night, he played on a bad ankle. He hadn't practiced for much of the week going in. Kayvon Frazier limps around on that knee that is now constantly swollen and constantly in need of draining. And Xavier Woods is probably going to miss the first game, and hopefully not after that. But that's all three of your top guys.
Yeah.
So now you're starting to look at, against Cam Newton in Carolina, somebody who you thought was going to get cut and put on the practice squad is now in the rotation. And you're not even sure who that is. So I think it's motivation. For me, it's motivation enough to say, let's make the Earl Thomas call. I don't know that the Joneses agree with that. I don't know that Will McClay agrees with that. I wonder if Chris Richard agrees with that.
Fish, it's Pat Doney here. Yeah, that safety conversation dominated Cowboys fans' talk in the offseason. We know, for whatever reason, man, during training camp, it seems to be the Rico Gathers show right now. Everybody on social media talking about Rico and his catch there. He seems to have his own set of fans, and even though, from what we're hearing from the owner, it doesn't sound like he's going to make the team. What are you hearing about Rico Gathers and his future with the Cowboys?
This really started on the very first day, the State of the Union address from Mr. Jones and company, where Coach Jason Garrett said, we really like our three young tight ends. Three, not four. We really like our three. And Jeff Swaim's only 27, and he hadn't been around that long, so I assume he was one of the three we're talking about. And that really hasn't changed. And, Pat, I thought we saw the dichotomy of Rico all in one game, in one late game against the Bengals. You saw the amazing catch, where he goes up and not only prevents interception, from behind goes up and over and back up and around and just makes just an astounding reception that is eye-popping in every way. But then there's another moment in the game where he's supposed to run a little pick play with Dalton Schultz, and he gets it all screwed up. And this is what we've talked about now in terms of Rico, who's – and, Pat, you've talked to him plenty of times – he's perfectly bright.
Sure.
It's not about his IQ. It's about his football IQ. And it's not translating. What he's understanding on the blackboard is not translating to the turf. And that's a fact. That's inarguable. Now, the question is, and the argument is, if and when they cut Rico Gathers, and barring an injury, that's what's going to happen, does he end up playing for the L.A. Chargers and becoming a real NFL player? And at that point, will we look back and say, is it Rico couldn't learn it, or the Cowboys coaching staff couldn't teach it?
Which has been an issue in the past at the tight end position for the Cowboys, too, one that we've talked about in previous years with previous players. That'll be interesting to watch. Another.
Well, and Pat, let me jump in and say
sure.
This. It actually, it's not just a question with Cowboys tight ends. It's a question that every coach, teacher, and parent ends up having to ask himself. Is it, if I send my kid to first grade and they send him back and he's still eating glue, is it because the kid can't learn to not eat glue, or the teacher can't teach him to not eat glue, or maybe there's something in my glue-eating genes
right.
that passed it down? And you never necessarily know the answer. I do think, and you mentioned Jerry Jones' comments afterwards. Jerry said after Saturday's game, he said, you know, talked about the angst that he's going to feel if they keep Rico Gathers, but have to cut somebody who's actually a better football player right now. And it certainly didn't sound like Jerry Jones wanted to do that. But that doesn't mean that Jerry Jones can't wonder, how are we paying coaches millions of dollars, and after 3 years, we can't teach a guy to run a route where he's just supposed to put on a little pick, a little crossing route, a little pick. It's something that maybe an eighth grader, which is the last time that Rico Gathers played football pre-Cowboys, something that maybe an eighth grader should be able to do instinctively, and Rico can't.
You mentioned angst right there. Anxiety is, you know, and anxious is the way that Randy Gregory described what it was like to be back on the field for the first time after missing basically the last 2 years. What are you hearing from coaches, from the front office, about what they are seeing from Randy so far? Because what I'm seeing in practice is a guy who looks the part that down the road could be a really good pass rusher in this league.
I think he is moved to the top of the rotation. I think against Carolina, when this team plays nickel defense, which you do a lot,
sure.
Sometimes you look down and you realize the Cowboys and most other teams in the NFL are playing nickel about 70% of the time. If the other offense puts you in position to play nickel defense, I can see Tyrone Crawford kicking inside and pass rushing from the inside, and there's Randy Gregory lining up as a semi-starter. I'll tell you, boys, and I don't know if TV caught it or not, the Randy Gregory moment in that game for me on Saturday night was when, out of frustration, he came to the sideline, defensive linemen were all coming together, and he took his helmet and he slammed it on the floor. He was miffed. And I'm not encouraging all you young players to start slamming your helmet on the floor. I'm saying that was the moment that I was watching him and I was saying, okay, now it's just about football. This isn't about what I used to be anymore. This isn't about the struggle. This isn't about mental or emotional struggles. This isn't about marijuana. This is about, I'm a mad football player, so I slammed my helmet on the ground. It was a Randy Gregory moment. I thought it was pretty cool.
Mike Fisher, Cowboys Insider, buyersafety.com hotline here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. I want to talk about Taco. Taco with three tackles, one for a loss, one forced fumble, and a sack. How happy was he? How happy were they with Taco after the game?
I think that what he did accentuates, once again, the drum that we've been beating, Sean, for the last couple of weeks. When we talk about what's the identity of this defense, I think four guys getting upfield as pass rushers, I think that's the identity. And the cornerbacks here can play, and the linebackers here, led by Sean Lee, and Jalen can play. But this team's ability to put four guys on the field and get them upfield at the quarterback, and then let them go three plays, let them go six plays, nine plays, and then come in a fresh set of them. Not a group of run stoppers yet, but four defensive linemen who can get up the field. Such a good group that I don't know if Coney Ealy gets a job here, and he's got Super Bowl credentials, and I don't know how Charles Tapper gets a job here, and he's got that famous Charles Haley first step, and yet I just don't know how he makes the team. That's how deep they are in that spot.
Anything else you want to clean up for the game before David Irving on Instagram?
Yeah, let's go to David Irving.
Yeah.
And Sean, you can kind of review the background if you want, and then I'll fill in the new blank.
Yeah, basically, David Irving was called a druggie, and then he completely went off on the NFL drug policy, admitting to being medicated. Yes, I'm a weed smoker. It's better than these pills that people try to go ahead and put into your system and screw you. You're probably a hypocrite. You're probably using marijuana as well, and I know that it's not the right thing to do. I know I have to live by the rules, and I'm going to try to go ahead and do that. That's my basic summary.
Okay. So I had long conversations with the David Irving people over the weekend. And I'll leave it at that in regard to the specifics. You know what the good news is here? Tucked into that ridiculous rant. Ridiculous because, not because he's wrong, because he's not wrong.
No.
He's not wrong about the way the NFL medicates you.
Yeah.
And doesn't necessarily tell you what they're doing to you or for you. And then the NFL punishes you if you decide to medicate yourself with marijuana, which isn't nearly as harmful as some of what the medical people have been giving NFL players for 40 years. The problem with David Irving's rant is he's the wrong guy in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But he's right. And maybe I'm being a Pollyanna here, and maybe I'm being a positive spinner here because of my fondness for David Irving. But tucked into this cloud of marijuana smoke is a silver lining. And you mentioned it. He's not smoking marijuana now. He thinks it's stupid that he doesn't get to, but he's not smoking it.
Yeah.
He's also going, I'm told, he's doing his therapy thing, not unlike Randy Gregory, and hasn't missed an appointment. I mean, he's finding a schedule for himself. He's doing it without marijuana. Now, if he can just remove himself from trying to be a spokesman now for the cause and get himself on the right track, and then, boys, when we get to 2021 and that CBA is up, then people like Randy Gregory can say, look, I'm a success. People like David Irving can say, look, I'm a success. And the NFL's policy against marijuana is wrong. David Irving can someday, this sounds silly at this moment to some people, but David Irving someday could be a spokesman for a movement that decriminalizes marijuana in the NFL. That day isn't today, but maybe it's coming in the future.
Yeah, that's the thing, Fish, that I keep going back to is that I agree with you. At some point, if that's a passion that you have, at some point you can do that. But isn't this the most important year in David Irving's life? I mean, at least career-wise, right? I mean, he's got millions of dollars on the line based on whether or not he plays well this season or gets on the field at all.
Which is why the people in his circle and other people who are close to other players, not just Cowboys but otherwise, are trying to help them understand. Sean, we've had this conversation about Dez Bryant and the Cowboys wide receivers now for years. You fellas should be using Twitter to put up pictures of your babies and promoting your foundations. You should not be arguing with George and Flower Mound on Twitter.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you any. So this didn't help Rico Gathers to argue with people about pot. It would help Rico. I'm sorry, not Rico Gathers. My apologies.
Yeah.
This doesn't help David Irving to win arguments on Instagram about marijuana. David Irving's got bigger wins right now in his life, which include his daughter, Zoe, his five-year-old daughter, and working to take care of her, and then working to take care of himself. And then maybe one of the carrots on the stick at the end of this is that David Irving can be a spokesman, really, for a movement and for a change. Not the right guy, not the right time, not the right place now, but maybe in the future.
Why didn't your boy Dez sign in Cleveland?
I think he continues to think, hope, and maybe be right that there's shopping opportunities. He can shop himself. Others can shop for him. I wonder how much of it is, hey, a wide receiver is going to get hurt today, and some team's going to need me. That gives me a better opportunity than Cleveland. But I think the Cleveland visit was good. And I do think there's an understanding about a one-year deal that gives me a chance to rebuild this thing. And people in Cleveland are kind of calling it a prove it. On Dez's side, it's more like, no, I already know what I'm going to do. I just want to start again next year and get paid again like what I used to be. Dez Bryant's view is I've got three really good Pro Bowl-level years in me, and we will monitor that as we go.
Thank you, Mikey. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
Mike Fisher, Cowboys Insider, buyersafety.com hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.